fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to look at St. Paul's teaching from his letter to the Ephesians, inspired by Monday's reading and the celebration of the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, and to be able to touch on some of the apostolic teaching, the pattern of life that the apostles called each and every one of us to live, partly because it's just good to know it, it's good to be clear about it, but also because in my heart I know and I can see the battle that's going on in our culture and how much the world that is becoming more intensely secularized, which in some ways is becoming crazy, it's kind of mad, it's full of chaos and disorder and all kinds of people who are in positions of influence in society and culture, instead of leading with a sense of honor and dignity and clarity and confidence, there's just acting badly, behaving badly. And it infects the culture. It's present in the popular culture. It's present in the news every day. The news cycle that people are plugged into, it creates panic. It gives terrible example. And it coarsens and darkens our culture and our way of life. And so one of the things we're seeing, friends, the reason this is happening, some people might want to blame it all on President Trump. Some people might want to blame it all on the Republican Party. Some people want to blame it all on Hollywood, whatever, or the news agencies and what's present there. I mean, I could say a lot about a lot of those things. But what's really going on, what we have to keep our eye on, is what we're seeing is the deconstruction of a Christian culture. We're seeing the deconstruction of a Christian mind that informed in very significant ways the culture and how we lived. Manners, customs, behavior, controlling the tongue, all the rest. A lot of that's just being thrown out. And it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about getting ahead and pushing my attitude and voice ahead, shouting over other people, not controlling our behavior. I mean, you know it. You see it. You feel it. You get tempted to get sucked into it. We need to be now the light of the world. We need to be the men and women Jesus Christ has called us to be. Friends, this is the moment. You were made for this moment. If you've been baptized into Christ, you were made for this moment. You were made in the midst of the ferocious spiritual battle we're living through to be a light, to be a place, an oasis, a clear voice, a comforting, but also a challenging light, a voice that's clear, speaks the truth, and a life that lives it. Not perfectly, but is seeking to live it. Walking in the humility of Christ, walking with a heart for those around us, but with a mind understanding what's driving our culture and being able to examine our own lives and be able to say, where am I in relationship to this? How much of my pattern of thinking and how much of my behavior is being influenced by what I'm watching, what I'm hearing? It's interesting. We've been working our way through chapter 4 of Ephesians, where Paul speaks so clearly about we're united into one body in Christ. We have a new power in the Holy Spirit, that literally the same life that's moving in me is moving in you if you're baptized into Christ. And we're one people in the household of God, meant to live under our Father's instruction. In the teaching of Jesus, we're one kingdom, you could say. Jesus planted the flag, and we're meant to bring the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is wherever human beings acknowledge God and live in accord with God, live with a healthy love and fear of God. That's where the kingdom is. And we're meant to plant the kingdom of God, first in your own heart, but also in your own home, in your parish, in your neighborhood. I'm not saying forcing people, but bringing the life of the kingdom present into your neighborhood, into your workplace. It's time for you to be a saint. It's time for you to live a heroic life. You might be listening and saying, well, what is this guy talking about? I mean, I'm having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. I'm no saint. Guess what? The saints who we read about yesterday, and if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, by the way, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. On the computer, you can listen to them right there or download them on whatever device you use to to listen at your leisure. None of the saints began perfect. Some of the saints, the Lord saved them from very disordered and confused lives. The question is not, who was I or what are my weaknesses? The question is, do I believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Do I believe that I have a loving Father who sent his Son to save me, to equip, to strengthen me, to live a new way of life? Do I see myself as a member of a church of forgiven sinners? That's what the church is. The church is full of broken, sinful people. But all we need to do is put God first, put Christ first, and to seek him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then watch what he does. Because he'll lead you, he'll strengthen you, he'll shape you, he'll form you into his image. And in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, we just had read a section earlier this week of Paul exhorting us to say, don't fall back in your former way of thinking. Don't live with a darkened mind. Live with a renewed mind. You didn't learn Christ the way many of you are living. That's not the way of life that Jesus gave you and called you into. Then he said, put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Walk in the new pattern of life. Walk by the Spirit. Then he gets really concrete here. I'll just read through how specific he gets about what the Christian life looks like and how distinct and different it is in the world around us. He said, therefore, putting away falsehood, that is, he called it earlier the futility of a darkened mind, living as if God didn't exist, or in a minimalistic approach to Christ, or living a kind of, I think in the culture today, we have what St. John Newman called a refined mediocrity spiritually. We secure all the goods of this world that we want for ourselves, all the comfort, all the pleasure, all the recognition, that we radically pursue those things, and then we give a little bit of time to God. That's a refined mediocrity. I'm choosing mediocrity because I don't want to be radical. I don't want to be on fire. I don't want to go all out for the Lord because I'm going to have to leave some things behind that I don't want to leave behind. Plus, I don't want people to think there's something wrong with me. I've fashioned an image of myself that I'm projecting to the world, and I don't want that to be jeopardized in some way. But here's Paul, verse 25, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor. Wow. How about that? Imagine what Washington would be if our leaders in Washington put this up on the front door of Congress before they went in and were committed to speaking the truth to their neighbor. No more lying, no more manipulating, no more destroying people for your own personal gain or for what your quote-unquote higher goals might be. And for any politician who might be listening today, if you're baptized into Christ, be a Christian. Live like a disciple. Live with the fear of the Lord. Have wisdom. I know you're in a ferocious battle, and being a politician can be a very noble thing, and it's very difficult to do, I realize. But guess what? This world is difficult for everybody, and you have one life. Speak the truth. Live the truth. And if you're scared or if you're confused, rally. Get people around you who will help you, who will strengthen and fortify you. And yes, if speaking the truth may end up causing people to turn against you or losing the next election, so be it. Live the truth. You're going to be dead soon anyway. Life is short. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. All that matters is you do what Christ calls you to do. Here's what Paul's saying. Speak the truth to your neighbor. Why? Because we're members of one another. He said, be angry, but don't sin. Is that interesting? Be angry, but don't sin. Anger is a healthy, when it's handled right, is a very healthy emotion. And as parents and in relationships with family, with friends, work, sometimes we get angry because people do things that aggravate us. People actually do things maybe that are wrong. And it's okay to allow the energy that comes from anger to summon within us the resources, the clarity of thinking, to be able to handle it rightly. So what does it mean to be angry but do not sin? Like if my wife and I are having a conflict, I'm mad at her for something. The Lord kind of taught me this early on and taught me pretty consistently. I can't talk to my wife any way I want to talk to my wife. That is, just because I'm mad doesn't mean I can yell and scream at her. Doesn't mean I can call her a name or something like that. That's being angry and sinning. Paul's saying, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry, but treat her as your sister. Go after the issue, go after the problem, but do it in a godly way. Seek reconciliation. Speak the truth from your heart. But don't let the explosion of emotions lead to screaming and yelling. Or even in some cases, you read more and more men seem to be, they get mad, they hit their wives. It's crazy. You can't do that. It's just wrong. And people want to justify, well, that person made me angry. Well, Paul's here saying, look, you have a power and a capacity in the Holy Spirit and the command of the Lord to live a particular way. You can do it if you want to. Paul said, if in Romans, he said, if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, that is the work of the flesh, that me-centered, ego-centered part of me, if by the Holy Spirit I put that pattern of life and that power to death, we will live. He said, but if we don't and we live by the flesh, we'll die. We'll literally end up becoming enemies of God. So be angry, but don't sin. He said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. That is, make sure that if you're in conflict with somebody, that you get to them, you do everything you can to get to them before the end of the day so that you can restore peace. It may take something to make it happen, but that's the goal. And he said, don't give an opportunity to the devil. That's an opportunity. I'm going to hold on to my anger and stew in that anger. That person hurt me. That person embarrassed me. That person shamed me. That person lied to me. And so I'm angry. Instead of anger seeking to restore right relationship or to do God's will in the situation, a lot of times I want to hold on to that anger and I want to hold it. And I end up talking to other people about this person. I start wanting to collect people into my anger. And I want that person to pay for what they did to me. And then bitterness and rivalry and payback can take hold of the human heart. That's what Paul's after. That's what anger can lead to. And it destroys the heart. It leads to depression. It leads to just an unhealthy way of living. Paul's saying, live a healthy life. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Handle these things the way the Lord wants you to handle them. And don't mess around. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're giving the devil an opportunity to do what? To enslave you. And what he's after is your destruction. He hates your guts. He's going to destroy you if you give him the chance to do it. He goes on, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands so that he may be able to give to those in time of need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Wow, this is a big one. Think about the kind of speech that is so common today in our public life. Friends, if in positions of influence in public life, whatever it is, please take the lead. Don't let evil talk come out of your mouth, but only such as that is good for edifying, that fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, in whom we were sealed on the day of redemption. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Friends, that's your calling, and the decision is yours. Do you want it? If you do, turn to Christ, walk in the Spirit, get help where you need it, and the Lord will help you live this way of life. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Be a difference in the world.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.